just gonna start playing then.
Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Cornerstone Church Online. Today is a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it. Today's a day of worship, and this is our call to worship. It's also a very special day. It's Mother's Day, and you're going to be hearing more about that toward the end of our service. You know, with all that's going on, I was thinking this past week about what's encouraging us today. If we listen to the news, we hear reports, some good, some bad, but for the most part, everything is not very promising. So this week, as I was looking in the Bible and reading and studying, I said, what could possibly encourage me? So I just want to direct your hearts this morning to a portion of Scripture. It's written by the Apostle John in his letter to the Revelation. He says in chapter 21, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then John continues, he says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river was the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever, and I add, with him. Today, if we need to be reminded of anything that we can look forward to, we know that God is going to fulfill the promises that he's given to us for eternity. And as we live each day today, I want you to be reminded that God is faithful, and nothing will ever change his plan for mankind. So if you need something to inspire you, to be secure, and to be absolutely certain, it is the Word of God. God is one day going to wipe all of this clean. And when the smoke clears, we are going to see Jesus face to face. And today, that's why we worship him. It's not because we hear music, but we worship him. Because we love him, we adore him, and we are being so ever grateful today. So as you worship this morning, think about those things and try to forget about the things that are really not certain. Maybe the reports that you're hearing that really don't sound very good, not very promising. But one thing we can be assured of today, that Jesus is on the throne and he loves you. So this morning we welcome you. We welcome you and we invite you to worship the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our soon coming Savior. One day we're going to be with him forever and ever. So let's pray this morning. And as we open our eyes after my prayer, let's remember that God is the one to be worshiped this morning, because he is good and he is faithful and he is loving. Father, we bless you today. We bless you. We thank you today for all the promises that have been given to us in your word. they are yes and amen in Jesus. Father, you're faithful and you're strong. And Lord, nothing will ever change the plan that you have for us. You're not just consistent, but you're faithful. And we can trust you with all of our hearts. And I know today, Father, that all you're asking is for our hearts today. And we give them to you as we worship you. Father, with our eyes closed and our hands raised and our hearts just pumping with hope, we just want to bless you today and thank you for all the things that you're doing. I pray this morning as those that are watching, Father, that they would engage in worship this morning and that your Holy Spirit would minister joy and peace and hope to everyone today. I pray that you would extend a blessing to every home and to every mom as we honor moms today as well. Father, thank you again for this great privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just come, be our invited guest. We welcome you in. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Won't you come? God, as we prepare the way in our hearts, won't you come? Jesus, there's no other name. Jesus, Not defeated, but you have overcome. You have overcome, Jesus. You're not defeated, you have overcome. You have overcome, you have overcome death, hell, and the grave. Oh, Jesus. Oh, not defeated, you have overcome. Come on, he is overcome, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're not defeated, you have overcome, you have overcome. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth, Jesus. Amidst all the noise, we proclaim that you are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth. He won't be silenced. You are the King of the earth, Jesus. Oh, yeah. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth. You are the King of the earth, Jesus. 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 Jesus, oh, yeah. You won't be silenced, you can't be banned from your throne. You're still the final word. That you are holy. There is none more worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on. Heaven's mercy seat. Sing that again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on. Heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy. is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Thank you.
Good morning, church. We welcome you today to our Mother's Day service at Cornerstone Fellowship. It's the year 2020 and an unusual time because we're all locked in our homes. But we pray for all the moms who I know have to be working overtime right now with children, with their families, and now schooling has been added to the list. And so we just thank you so much, moms. And grandmothers and women in general, we just honor you today and thank the Lord for you. We pray for you. Today I've brought a very special guest, actually two of them, Bob and Michelle Perez. They're Assembly of God World Missionaries stationed in the Caribbean Islands. And they're from a neighboring district. They're in the New Jersey district. And they'd called me last year and almost said no to inviting them to come. But something about Michelle, when she started to share her story, captured my heart. And so I said, I do want you to come, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to come on Mother's Day. And she said, on Mother's Day? You got to be kidding me. My story is about human trafficking. And so parental warning here, when Michelle begins to talk, you parents, you might want to excuse your children from the room because it is a mature theme that they'll be talking about. But Michelle shared her story, and when she began to share her story, I thought, we absolutely have got to have you here on Mother's Day. So we scheduled it, and guess what? Then the COVID virus swept into town, and I got a call last week from the Perez's, and they said, well, I guess we're not coming to Pennsylvania. And I said, no, but you know what? I can come to you. So we decided to meet on the turnpike. You know, I'm an hour and a half away, and they're an hour and a half the other direction. So we met at Valley Forge Christian College and went to their campus. And on the campus, we recorded this interview that you're going to see in just a moment. I want you to hear their heart. I really want you to capture or hear or capture some of the intensity of their passion for souls and for lives and transformation. But in the process, they themselves became broken. And they'll share that story, how God healed them and how God restored them. I really believe their story is worth hearing again and again and again. And by the way, you can also watch for an encore edition in which I will interview Michelle by herself with Bob nearby. And I'll be posting that on our church online website at some near date. We'll let you know when that comes up. But if you would, just give a great big warm welcome this morning to Bob and Michelle Perez. Hear their story, hear their heart, and let God touch you. I actually think, even though it might be a little bit awkward, it's a perfect Mother's Day message. God bless you, Bob and Michelle. Thank you so much for going out of your way to be with us today.
Bob, Michelle, welcome to Cornerstone Fellowship.
Thank you so much.
It would be a lot warmer in our sanctuary, I guarantee it. It would be wonderful if we could be there, but we met here instead. So how did you guys meet? How did you get started in life together and as world missionaries?
I think the question about how we met, my wife would probably best at explaining that story.
She remembers better than
no, we actually met in church when we were just kids.
Yeah.
And I think that she'll add a nice little flair to it.
So we actually met at a sectional youth rally.
Oh,
back
nice.
In the day, we used to have youth rallies where all the teens in a certain district would get together, and we actually met on the skating rink.
Okay. 15 years old.
Yeah,
skating rink.
Yeah, I was 14.
Roller skating.
Yeah, roller skating.
Okay.
I was 14, he was 15, and you know, he was from the suburbs. I'm inner city, born and raised in Camden, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
That's my hometown.
Okay.
So it made for an interesting getting together. His parents weren't too thrilled. But long story short, we dated for about 4 years, and we got married at the age of 18. We were just babies.
But before we got married, so when I was just a kid, I felt like God called me to missions. And I said, hon, if you're going to get married to me, can't unless you're willing to become a missionary.
True story.
And, you know, to my amazement, she said yes. But the thing was, when we finally made that decision to become missionaries, she didn't want to do it. And she pushed back. She goes, no, you're working a job. Life's great, you know, and I don't want to be a missionary.
Right.
And so I had to wait around for a couple more years, and we went on a trip to Argentina. And that's where God got a hold of my wife.
Yeah.
And what year was that?
Wow.
Argentina.
I want to say 1995-ish.
So that would be, Argentina was in revival then?
No. That would have been more like 97, 98, okay. Somewhere around that. But no, the revival of Claudio Fresen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And an incredible, incredible revival. Mm-hmm. But by then it had been over.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.
So cool. What do you do? What would you be doing if you were not locked down in New Jersey right now?
So we would be just traveling all up and down the East Coast, mm-hmm. Pretty much all over the United States, and mm-hmm. visiting with people, visiting with churches, mm-hmm. Trying to raise our support so that we get back to the field.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys or the people watching know of how AG Missions works, but every missionary has to raise a budget.
Yeah.
And until that budget's raised, the Assemblies of God will not give you the green light to go back to the field. And so we're working feverishly. Mm-hmm. And COVID put us at a dead stop and said, you know what, you're not going to visit any more churches right now. And so
mm-hmm. yeah.
We're not sure how things are going to unfold. Yeah. And we're just praying that God's going to make a way where there is no way right now.
True. So what would be the date that you would go back, I mean, if it weren't for this?
So we were shooting to leave the end of June to head back to the mission field. And, you know, once March, we came back from a short mission trip. We had to take a short mission trip to meet with the executives in one of our countries. And when we got back, the whole COVID just shut everything down.
Yeah.
And so since the beginning of March, I mean, things just turned on their head. And mm-hmm. June's not looking so mm-hmm. Bright right now. And so, I mean, I would say probably September, but I think more of a likely scenario is more like December.
Kind of put a pickle on things, but you know, we've been trying to take it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. We're grateful to be home with our girls. You know, both of our girls are in Jersey, and our oldest one is getting ready to get married.
Congratulations.
And yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then our youngest one goes off to college. She's going mm-hmm. to Southeastern, graduating high school a year early. So we're trying to, you know, just use it as a blessing just to be together, you mm-hmm. know, and have a little bit of extra time with them, mm-hmm. but still knowing that our hearts are on the mission field and we want to get back there as soon as we can.
Okay. So budget wise, where are you at percentage?
So budget, we're 86%.
Okay. That's
so
good.
We got another 14 left and you know, how long is that going to take? I don't know. You know,
Mm-hmm.
You have your projections, but God's got his projections.
So what region are you in?
So we are Latin America and the Caribbean. So we're specifically more or less in the Caribbean area.
Okay.
And
what's the greatest needs in Latin America right now?
So I would say number one is definitely church planting. Definitely church planting.
Okay.
That's one of the things that we've worked in the area of Costa Rica. We were in Costa Rica for a number of years.
Yep.
For the past 9 years or so, we've been in Costa Rica.
You told me you were a neighbor of Denny.
Denny Seller?
Yes.
So I live right around the corner from Denny Seller, just a block away.
Yeah.
Good.
And a great guy. And but yeah, so in Costa Rica, we worked in the area of church planting and all across Latin America. We've got indigenous people that live in the mountains, people that live far away, removed from society. And then we have our inner cities that are much like a Philadelphia or even a Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. We have our inner cities in Latin America, but we need the church to plant churches. Okay. And so that's what we're looking to do. And then number two, one of the things that happens a lot in many of our Latin American countries is sexual tourism, prostitution, and human trafficking.
Okay.
And so that's where my wife is really focused. Her efforts over the past 9 years, and I've been there to support her and to do what we can do. And so I actually got my doctorate in business administration focused on the area of human trafficking and the impact that women in Congress create towards creating stronger legislation against human trafficking.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
It's been my heart, and it was it's a really difficult ministry. You know, as women, we get emotionally tied, you know, with anybody that we talk to that's having a hard time when we're sharing with each other. So that emotional connection this last term, you know, after working over 8 years with the local foundation that we partnered with, It was one of our hardest terms, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And just looking back at it, we had to make some really tough decisions, and we had to make a decision to separate away from the local foundation that we were partnering with because of some ethical issues.
Okay.
And so when that took place, it hit me personally really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a couple of months for it to set in, because we were right in the middle of a building a shelter, a huge mm-hmm. shelter project for mm-hmm. 90 women.
Mm. And a $1.8 million project for 90 victims
we were
of trafficking
fully
women
invested.
And children.
So making that decision, we did not make it lightly, and we had to separate because we knew that there were some red flags, some things that were going on that we couldn't continue mm-hmm. to partner with. And when that happened, it was actually about February 2nd of 2018, during right in the middle of our last term, when I started to deal with some anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
I never had ever dealt with depression or anxiety in my life before. I'm always an upbeat person, an extrovert. I mm-hmm. love being around people. My heart's desire is just to serve women, teenagers. We were leading a really strong youth group every Saturday. We loved what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to make that decision to separate from that foundation, I remember it was February 2nd of 2018 when I got up and I had my first panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Did not realize what was taking place in my body. It felt like I was having a heart attack. I remember waking my husband up and saying, "Babe, I don't feel right. Something's off." We prayed together. I remember going downstairs and we were living there in San Jose, Costa Rica. I threw myself on the floor and just began to seek the Lord and kind of questioning, "God, why am I feeling this way?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was a slow process. You know, it was building. There were many things that were taking place during that time in our life. We had just dropped off our oldest daughter to college. Back in New Jersey, and within 3 weeks, we had to be back to the mission field. So, you know, your whole family dynamics really changes when you have to drop off a kid at college. And so my youngest was really struggling, missing her sister. Bob had also been diagnosed with the autoimmune disease during this time, struggling with some insomnia for about 3 years.
Okay.
And they were trying to figure out what was going on there. He was involved in a car accident with one of our Speed the Light vehicles out in the jungle. And it was a pretty traumatic experience where the car was pretty much one more flip to the right and he would have fell off of a cliff. So talk about being slammed left and right where you feel like you just can't catch your breath. Yeah. And sometimes I think that's the things you don't hear from missionaries.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times that transparency of just saying, "It's really tough."
Yeah.
You know, it can get really, really tough on the mission field. And that's where we found our place. That's where we found ourselves when we were just kind of slammed left and right and the depression and anxiety set in.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 10 long months, I struggled until our air director that oversees all of Central America, she steps in. And they had been watching us, and we received some phone calls to Assemblies of God World Missions. And when we got those three phone calls, kind of people concerned about us, they reached out to us. I had lost over 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as women, you know, we are always taking care of our families, and we're always doing, and we forget the self-care that we need. And I guess that's where I found myself at that time. And, you know, it being Mother's Day, I can say I know a lot of women can relate, especially, you know, during this time of being quarantined in the house.
mm-hmm.
You know, stuck in the house. Yep. Some are homeschooling their kids for the first time ever. It's overwhelming. And so that's how I felt, just pretty much overwhelmed. And we were actually given an option to go to a place and seek some help for about 30 days out in Tallahassee, Florida. And my option would be to go by myself and leave my youngest daughter, who was 15 at the time, and my husband in Costa Rica and go for 30 days. And so, you know, as all the moms out there, I know that you would be thinking, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah. And I still hear to this day, my youngest daughter, she didn't like my pork chops. And she still reminds me she hated my cooking the whole entire
Dad's
time.
Dad's cooking was, you know, of major concern.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so I prayed about it, and what made me really change my mind to go, because I really was against it at first,
sure.
was my youngest daughter coming up to my room that evening after we met with our directors, and she said, "Mom, you're going." She kind of grabbed me. She took a suitcase out of my closet, and she began to pack the suitcase for me. She wrote out a bunch of sticky notes saying, "Mom, you got this. Mom, God's going to bring you back even stronger." You know, she just filled it with verses for every day that I would be there. And I remember watching her. And for me, it was my turning point to see I'm not hiding this from anybody. You know, my family knows that I'm struggling, and I can't keep going this way. And I remember looking at her and her saying, "You are going." And I knew in my mind, okay, I'm going. I mean, if my daughter is telling me I want my mom back, you know, I need help. So I ended up going to this place, and it was the best thing I ever did. You know, oftentimes, you know, the Lord wants us to take time for ourselves. He wants us to do that self-care properly, to learn how to do that, even in ministry.
Right.
And it was a turning point. At this place, I was able to get the counseling that I needed for some past traumatic situations that I had been through in my childhood, where I had some flashbacks about some sexual abuse that I had went through. Also was diagnosed with PTSD from some secondhand trauma. From some of the things that we were involved in Costa Rica. You know, I was going into brothels with a bulletproof vest, and we were first responders there, and seeking out young girls to bring them out of places like brothels and nightclubs all throughout the country. So these were really tough things, and they leave a mark. And so I remember when I came home from that place, I knew that it was time for us to take time for our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so with the recommendation of our area directors, we took a 6-month medical leave, and we did some marriage counseling. And again, we've been married for 22 years. Best thing we could have ever done. My husband was not thrilled at first, and I let him stay.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We get into counseling, and the counselor's like, "Listen, you need to explore your feelings." Because as guys, we all kind of have one emotion, and that emotion is anger, and everything revolves around anger. And so I had to explore my emotions, a feelings journal. She's like, "I want you to write down what you're feeling and where you feel it in your body." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You're feeling emotions in your body." And, you know, I still don't get it, but that was one of these things that I had to do. And, you know, we even got to the point where we're like, we're going through counseling, and all this difficult stuff takes place in ministry. And we're like, "I don't know. We can stay in missions."
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if we can stay in ministry.
The very thing he called you to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I was a missionary because I couldn't do anything else. I mean, I was a network engineer, and I had a great career beforehand, but God called me to be a missionary. And so we're at this point where we're like, "Hun, to save our marriage, I think we've gotta maybe step away from ministry." And I went down to Springfield, Missouri. And this is where God blows you away. And so sometimes you don't understand why God allows you to go through certain things in life. But when I was first applying as a missionary, I asked to go to a certain country, and they said, "Nope, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It's sensitive." And so 15 years later, we're in Springfield, Missouri, and I sit at a table with a number of individuals from AG World Missions. And, and one of the guys in charge of the Caribbean stands up, and he goes, "Bob, Michelle, we've been looking for a missionary couple to serve in a particular country. Bob, specifically you, look, when you were just a kid, 12 years old, God put this on your heart."
Exactly.
"But here's the thing. This country that we want to send you guys to, we'd like to extend an invitation, but whatever missionary couple goes there has to meet 3 criteria. Speak Spanish, know the culture. But number 3, they have to have been through the most difficult of difficult seasons in ministry."
Yeah.
And we think
perfectly
we think
prepared for that, huh?
These past 4 years,
check.
These past 4 years, put that checkbox in all 3 ones, and we like to ask you guys, to consider going to this part of Latin America. And I said at the table, I'm like,
we were blown away.
But how can I think that ministry is over when God is just now saying, look, I let you go through the storm because I had something that I needed you to do, and you needed to be in that storm in order for me to make it happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
God's amazing.
He is. He really is. Yeah.
There's a phrase in Spanish I love, says, durísima la vida. Life's hard. You know, and when you follow after the footsteps of Jesus Christ, you got to know.
Some of those things that hard. I think back and learning that are even good for the times that we're living in right now. One of the things that I learned through counseling that I just kind of keep with me during those nights of anxiety and panic attacks and depression, I remember just struggling to sleep. And I remember just kind of closing my eyes, and I was memorizing scripture during those times to just, like the word says, hide the scripture in your heart. And I remember every panic attack that I had, I would close my eyes and say, you will keep in perfect peace all whose minds are stayed on you because they trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. And I mean, I must have repeated that verse during that time thousands of times. And it's my go-to verse. And I just want to encourage those that maybe you guys are struggling with depression or anxiety, or there are times even right now that you feel like nobody knows what I'm going through. And I just encourage you to not stop moving forward, to hide God's word, memorize his word, and hide it in your heart, because I feel like that is what made the difference for me, knowing that when I came out through the other side, God had a purpose. Mm-hmm. And he has a purpose oftentimes. Sometimes we don't maybe get to see it on this earth. Many that have lost loved ones and they question why these things had to happen. Right. But us moving forward in him, he gives us miraculously, I can say, because I've seen it in my life and the things that I've gone through, even as a child, where God, he redeems even our brokenness, even things we say, this is not worth it. Mm-hmm. But God says, oh, yes, it is. Yeah. I'm going to use the weak things of this world to confine the wild.
No, I love what somebody said. They say that we're all kind of in the same storm with COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're all not in the same boat.
Oh, yeah, right.
We're in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. And you know, God uses those storms different in every individual's life. And God had us in that storm, mm-hmm, because there was some things that we needed to learn.
Right.
And had we never been there, the opportunity to do what God has called us to do, it wouldn't exist. And I'm just so grateful, grateful for, to know that we have a God. You know, he knows our ins and our outs. He knows our comings and our goings. And he has us go through these storms in life, but there's those moments where God says, you know what, now it's time for you to go to the mountaintop for a little while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we are just so, so, so incredibly blessed to be Assemblies of God missionaries. And even be here and to be able to share with you today about what God has done in our lives.
I was just telling Judy, I think it was yesterday, in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who are loved and called by God. Excuse me, I didn't quote that well. But anyways, in Romans 8:28, all things can only work together for our good if we you know, actually lay it all at Jesus' feet.
Right. And
the victories, the failures, the good times, the hard times, the other times, you know, it can only all work together for our good unless we just keep laying it all right before him and letting him use it to build us. Even in failure, you know, even in failure, I think that if we confess our sins, we confess our faults, even in times of, you know, you're doing the right thing and the rug just gets pulled out from under you. If we keep looking to Jesus in it, then everything can work together.
That's right.
But without Jesus, life is just hard.
It is.
What was it again in Spanish?
Durísima la vida.
It's easy for you to say, brother. But anyways, how can we pray for you? What would be your prayer request? us right now?
So I would say number one is, did you pray with us that we would connect with God's agenda for this area in Latin America and the Caribbean that we're going to work, that we need so desperately? You know, we go in with our plans sometimes, but they're not always God's plans.
Yeah.
And so number one is that we would connect with God's agenda for this area of Latin America and the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And then number two, just as our whole fundraising and year of promotion has been kind of flipped upside down, and we don't know what tomorrow looks like. We don't know how things are going to unfold or how we're going to be able to get back out there and visit with churches and people. And so I would just like to ask that Pastor, you and church, you would just pray for our missionaries, as well as us, that God will put the right people at the right place at the right time so that we can get to where he's called us to go.
Yeah. Yep. And you two are doing well now?
Yeah. Oh, man. Six
Still
months
prayer.
Of
past. A lot better. A lot better.
Yeah.
Day and night.
You know, one of the things we learned was that we've been together since we were kids.
Yeah, really young.
But we didn't know how to communicate.
It's true.
We thought we were communicating.
Yeah.
But she would have one takeaway and I would have another takeaway. Yeah. And you know, counselors, they don't fix your marriage.
That's right.
Counselors don't fix your life. They guide you in a process and they give you tools so that you can discover how to make your marriage and how to make your lives better.
You have to use those tools, though. Yeah. That's the important part. And we've learned that throughout this time. Mm-hmm. Definitely using the tools. Fighting fair was one of the big things, takeaways, you know, that we got out of that counseling. And I recommend it, you know, if you're struggling in your marriage. I mean, we invest in everything else in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, why not something that's going to keep our family together? Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say as guys that we're going to love it because let me tell you, in the beginning, I told the counselor later, I said, look, you're just digging for something that's not there. you're making things worse.
Right.
And thank God after it got worse, it did get better.
Yes. Good. Yeah, it did.
I'm proud of you guys. Wow. Hey, let's just wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Yeah,
one,
definitely.
Two, three.
Happy Mother's Day.
Feliz Día de la Madre.
What a powerful testimony that was. And I got to tell you, when I was there in person with them videoing Bob and Michelle, you could just sense the Spirit of God. You could hear the birds chirping and the wind blowing and cars driving past. But you could just sense the Spirit of God. And what an amazing testimony. But it is Mother's Day. And Judy and I just wanted to wish all the moms a very happy Mother's Day. I just wanted to say something to Judy publicly. When Judy had our first child, which was David, who was leading worship a while ago. So it was a while ago that she had that David. But when I saw Judy go into labor and when I saw her deliver David and what she went through, I knew that you, Judy, you're much stronger than everyone gave you credit for. And I know the grace of God was on you and has been on you, but your strength in leading our family. In fact, I just want to thank you and your mom, my mom, and many other moms who really have sowed into our family and helped our family, help us raise our children. And, you know, moms are often unsung heroes. But I just wanted you, Judy, if you don't mind, to just pray a blessing over moms. And I'm also aware of the fact that not everybody is a mom. I'm thinking of women in general, not just moms, but women in general. And there's all kinds of reasons why ladies are not moms, you know. And as some of them have nothing to do with any choices or decisions that they have made. So women in general ought to be honored. But if you don't mind, Judy, just pray a blessing over these moms today.
Father, we thank you. I thank you that I have the privilege of being a mom and a mama, and it is the delight and the joy of my heart. But I'm also aware, God, that there are many women who that is the desire of their heart, and that's not been their experience. And so Mother's Day can be difficult. For some women, it can be difficult because there's an ache and a longing in their heart for a child that they have not been able to conceive or to to give life to. And I pray for those women. I pray for families who are maybe experiencing the first Mother's Day without their mom because she went home to be with the Lord this year. And they are experiencing a loss. And so I pray for them. And I ask, Father, that you would minister to women all around the world. Lord, you see the woman who is alone right now. You see the woman who is crying. You see the woman who is rejoicing. You see every one of us. And I pray, Father, that wherever you find us, that we would find you to be ever so close to us. Whether we are celebrated or not, I pray that we would know that we are celebrated by you, God. You love us. You see us. You know everything about us. And you know how to meet our deepest need. And so, Father, I pray that even if it's difficult, that women everywhere would begin to call on your name. And they would find you to be their source of strength, their source of help, their source of hope, and ultimately, their source of joy. Because, Father, I know that in the midst of any situation that we might find ourselves in, you can bring a joy in the midst of life. And so I pray that if there is brokenness, that you would bring healing. Where there is sadness, you would bring hope. And Lord, where there is rejoicing, that there would be reason to celebrate. And so God, I just bless everyone everywhere. I bless women, I bless their children, I bless families. And I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to us in a very special and a very significant way this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you. And from God's house at Cornerstone Fellowship and from our house, literally to your house, we welcome you all and wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Thank you very much.